Something we don't often get to do is to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so it's special. Although I used to try and every second year I used to try and read the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I had read it many times, but this was Chaitanya Charitamrita was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's favourite reading matter, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very important pastime because it's, we're seeing the activities of Supreme Lord in this Kali Yuga, and along with the pure devotees of the Lord, many of which have come from the spiritual world, so their activities are highly enlightening. And I was hearing a talk the other day. My spiritual master went to where Ramanujacharya is worshipped in his samadhi. South India, you know that place? The Sri Lanka?
Yeah.
And they still have his form there, his actual form. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Once, yeah. But, yeah. Long time.
So, anyway, he stayed in the Brahminical section there in the city, and he was saying that at 4 o'clock in the morning, everyone gets up at the same time. All the Brahmins and the families. And so one of the first things they do is they cleanse from the front doorstep out into the middle of the road. And everyone does that. So, and then they decorate with Ranguli. So they're like, is that various colourful decorations. So by the time the sun comes up, you've got this, it's all cleansed with scented water and beautifully decorated, as it looks like, by Kunta. So, you know, still today, this, Brahminical culture is here. And whereas, you know, Prabhupada once said that this Hare Krishna movement will become famous in the future, just for one fact, just for the fact the devotee is clean, for that they'll be considered, these Hare Krishnas, they're so clean. For that one thing, devotees will be respected all over the world. Famous. They did a survey recently where they asked people, the adults and their families, how often they shower. And the majority of people, so over a third, have a a shower in the evening. So they don't have one in the morning, they have one in the evening. And they don't even know why you would have a shower in the morning, because for them you haven't done anything, you know, you haven't been out in the day. But of course, less than a third have a shower once in the morning, but not in the evening. And the others don't necessarily have a shower every day. And that was something that was interesting. But you know, it's quite you know, that sense of and this is, you know, these are persons who are, you know, professionals, doctors, lawyers. We're not talking about just people who are, you know, this is just the normal, you know, middle class and what have you type of people. That generally the sense of cleanliness is just not there. So. You know, these sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they highlight, the one time Prabhupada, someone said to Prabhupada, they say to Srila Prabhupada that cleanliness is next to godliness. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, cleanliness is godliness. So we'll read this, some verses as far as we can. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Some of the prominent devotees, like Advaita Acharya, used to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his meals at their home. The Lord accepted such invitations, accompanied by his devotees. In this way, the Lord passed some days in great jubilation. Then the car festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashi Mishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them to wash the temple known as Gundicha, or court. This Gundicha temple is situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. At the time of the Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath goes to the Gundicha temple from his original temple and stays there for 1 week. After 1 week, he returns to his original temple. It is understood by hearsay that the wife of Indrajumna, the king who established the Jagannath temple, was known as Gundicha. There is also mention of the name of the Gundicha temple in authoritative scripture. The area of the Gundicha temple is estimated to be 288 cubits by 215 cubits. The main temple inside is about 36 cubits by 30 cubits, and the meeting hall is 32 cubits by 30 cubits. Upon hearing the Lord's request for them to wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, so we get a, who's our superintendent? Is that the temple, what do they call it? It's the temple president, it's the temple, who's our superintendent? There's a temple command, we'll call him Padicha. Is that it?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we'll call him now. Padicha. My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay, whatever your lordship orders. So that's Maharaj Prataparuda had already, the king of the, that part of land, had ordered the superintendent. Whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, whatever he orders, you do that. My dear Lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do so, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms, therefore order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you. As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and, with his own hand, smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Simpasana, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of the Lord all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, he became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some place, he even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, the Bhoga Mandira, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after the other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust in their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust we collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, the simhasana, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. She reminds me of a pastime about cleansing. I was in one temple, I won't say who it was. But just address let's address Lord Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Try to anyway. But mostly I've always dressed going to time, but I think the pujaris hadn't turned up, so they asked me to dress for Lord Jagannath. So I had done it before, but they had this like bolster. I don't know if they use it here, but they had the bolster thing, and then you wrap the cloth around that, maybe. But they'd given Jagannath a bit of a bath and what have you, and then I started to decorate. And as I was, I fully decorated, dressed him, decorated his crown and everything, but the crown kept, it just wouldn't sit right, and you know, like the whole headpiece on Lord Jagannath, and I couldn't understand it, and I sort of tried to adjust it and make it worse, and I thought to myself, I just couldn't get it to sit there, I just kept doing these strains, just for them, and I thought I'm going to have to start again. So this is quite close to, opening, so I was freaking out. But I took everything off right down to the bolster. And I thought, I'll have to take the bolster off as well, because when I used to dress them, the bolster was just there. So whoever had washed them, then they would put the bolster back. But what had happened was that when I took the bolster off, there were cockroaches under it. See? And so obviously, whoever had washed Jagannath had just left it there, sort of anonymously under the bolster. And these cockroaches are there. Jagannath wouldn't wear his crown. He wouldn't wear the whole thing like that. And so I then, got rid of them and cleansed it like that. And then I had to do, his whole thing again. But he wasn't going to wear it because, the pujari was thinking, no one would see, I haven't washed under those, I'll leave it there, and I'll, do myself a little quicker. But Jagannath knew, and he wouldn't let me go ahead until everything was properly cleaned. So it was just a little pastime then. But anyway, I got the deer's dress one time, so I was happy with that. But it was interesting also because it was the one of I didn't often dress Lord Jagannath, and I to this day I felt happy that he made it, because when I saw it I thought they're not washing under that bolster at all, hardly ever, because I could tell. So but there's another interesting story about just how we treat the Lord, because the pictures, the deities, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Personally, directly, when I was in Perth, we did this back in 1980, I think it was, and that was before that. 1978. I was on the bus with Ramaswamy, and we went to. We were doing preaching in a hall down, south in a place, Margaret River or something, south, way south of Perth. Ramaswamy used to like to preach in a lot of the places where they had good surf, We used to always go out surfing, in the morning. Body surfing, like that. As a morning bath would be a session of body surfing sometimes. But anyway, we did this hall program, and Bhavananda was there. And there was a lot of, there were some people who were you know, they liked the devotees. Some of them may have been to temples in the west, in the east, I mean. And they let us stay at their house, and you know, we did some cooking, and then we went to the hall. And we were doing a program, and Bhavananda was talking to a lot of people, and he was describing Krishna, and he said, "Why don't the devotees get me a picture of Krishna so I can just show them like that?" And devotees looked around, and there was no picture. We hadn't brought a picture of Krishna to the hall. And then they went out to the cars. There was no picture of Krishna. That they couldn't find a picture of Krishna. And so at that stage, it was much nicer. And I thought, you know, gee, if I could get a picture of Krishna, you know, I get a little blessing there. So I also searched around. I thought, maybe the place where we're staying, because the person had some association with devotees, maybe there's a picture of Krishna in their home. So I went back to the home, searched all throughout the house, no pictures of Krishna. I thought, this is unbelievable. You know, like that. And so I went out to the car, and when I was going to drive back to the hall, I thought, look, you know, the only place I haven't looked is a toilet. You know, there wouldn't be a picture there. But I'll look, because I've looked everywhere else. So of course, went into the toilet, and shut the door, as if, you know, you're sitting in the toilet, you look, there's a picture of Krishna. So the only picture of Krishna, every time the lady went to the toilet, she'd be meditating on Krishna, but, you know, I don't know what Krishna was meditating on. That's the problem. So I grabbed that picture. It was like a poster. It was a poster of Murlidhar. Like this, simple, but it's an older looking one. It's a darky, you probably know the one. I took that, and I took it back to the hall. He was really surprised, the Sruja Master, and he showed it all. And, but you know, again, I sort of thought to myself, you know, Krishna didn't want to stay in that toilet anymore. You know, he brought the devotees all the way to Margaret River. You know, organise this whole program. He was, that's enough of this toilet. Get me out of this toilet. So, you know, he is Sudasattva. He likes to be pure goodness. So, you know, we should always treat his temple and the deities and his pictures, you know, in a very respectful way. But, you know, just remind me of those pastimes. So, I named my first daughter after that picture, Murlidhar. And I've still got that picture. Someone brought, so I never gave it back to her. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne and them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool, and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda, Balaji, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots and others were washing the rooms. But everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names of Krishna, and another delivered a pot while chanting Hare Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication to everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus they began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagannath area and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed and the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen and every room. Thus all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behaviour of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself." I now do not know what my destination is because of this offence. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me. Purport. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnava was your Gaudiya Vaishnava. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are followers of Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The Parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the six Goswamis, then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the Parampara system of the Gaudiya cult. There are many offences one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. Nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances and touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. This is considered an offence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of a acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings. The point is that even though one plays the part of the spiritual master, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. Verse 128. At this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the book of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Kundichapuri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains and of sand and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collections and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." In this way, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how it was done. So there's a long purport here, and from memory it does sum up some of the essential understandings of this pastime. So I will read this purport. In commenting on cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the Course says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse his heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishastika, Chaitodarpana Manjana. In this age, everyone's heart is unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lidyantastori Bhagrami. To wash all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 also confirms this statement. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire and material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If the devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Shrimpatam Svarakatal Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart and the Lord wants to give directions, but one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds or dust, in other words, anyavilasitapurna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. You know, which is a... this is a similar thing when people ask me why they do the nomina, and I usually describe the principles of cleanliness within and without, that you can't actually think of the Supreme Lord unless your heart is cleansed and your activities are cleansed. So that mundan ceremony is actually a symbol of pushing that direction, so that one, and I explain to them the ultimate goal of that haircutting ceremony is to help you to think of Krishna by becoming cleansed. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruit of work. Speculative knowledge, the mystic yogi system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, anyavilasita sunyam gyana kamadyam inavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. one should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead by speculative knowledge, fruit of activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as they are present within the heart, as soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Samsara Vishnavi, Divanishi Hiyajali, Judaitina Kaimbulupaya. In other words, endeavour for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes such activities as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruit of activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruit of activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruit of activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruit of activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over his body. If one suffers during his past fruit of activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystical yoga and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and gyanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. However, when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favoured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita 6.19, those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence into various demoniac species of life. The demons are always envious of the Lord and therefore most mischievous. By this practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, that even though I may become free from the desire for fruit of activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruit of activity comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into a misunderstanding described as kutinanti, fault finding, and pratistasa, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Jiva himsa, envy of other living entities. Nisidachara, accepting things forbidden in the sastra. Karma, desire for material gain. And puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept me to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. Jiva Himsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as para vakara, welfare activities for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activities. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic, yogi, a miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic, but all this is considered to be dust, straw and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regular principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants and meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple to confirm with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleansing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed, as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religiosity, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our heart. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down and we should observe the festival by distributing prasad and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behaviour. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleansing. And those who engage as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anatta nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Kundicha Mandira is conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. I'm going to leave it there because we've run out of time, but there's some more. But I want to text 136. This is Madhulila, chapter 12. I'll finish text 135. And there's not a lot of big purples like that in there, but it goes up to text 222. So anyone who wants to finish off that chapter during the day.